For this session, we're going to be talking about cultural competence. So just notice what pops into your head when you hear that term. What comes up in your mind, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. We've been talking in May. We discussed perspective and bias. We started kind of diving into this area. And kind of through the perspective of our worldview, that we all have this worldview based on so many things, and a lot of what we experience is unconscious, which I love this picture. We don't always know what cultural water we're swimming in. There are lots of blind spots. And when you start opening this Pandora's box of your own bias, you all of a sudden start to notice it all over the place sometimes, and it can be overwhelming. So let's start with a little riddle. Now, if you've heard this riddle before, don't tell the answer. If you haven't heard the riddle, then see if you know the answer. Raise your hand if you know. How can this be possible? A father and son are in a car crash. The father dies. The son is taken to the operating room, and the surgeon says, "I can't operate on this boy because he's my son."
Is that true?
No. Jenny?
The father and the son in the first sentence are not father and son related to each other. They are a father and a son.
But not to each other. Okay, I think they're meant to be related to each other. Kara?
I think the surgeon is the mother.
The surgeon's the mom.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Kara?
Can we put a modern spin on it?
Sure.
The surgeon was the other dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is one I hadn't
thought of. That is yours.
I think both of those answers could be correct. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And our tendency is to often assume that the doctor is going to be male.
Right.
Right? That's like a common bias, which hopefully is changing.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And if that's fine if that didn't come up for you. These kinds of things come up for everyone. All of us have biases, and I think that's the important part. We can't escape them. It's actually a part of our hardwired brain, and it's to create safety for us. A long time ago, if you came upon someone who didn't look like you, like this is back in cave people days, you might not be safe because they weren't part of your tribe. So you had to, these ways of being are ingrained in us, and they're actually passed down through generations. And the field of epigenetics is really studying this, like how things like this live in our DNA and how trauma and things can be passed on to generations. So while these biases are not necessarily our fault, they can be our responsibility if we choose to look at them. And that's sort of the invitation, is to start looking at, what comes up. And the way that I've kind of walked into this space is to be curious about my biases and trying to let go of the guilt and shame that comes with it sometimes. And a lot of our biases are based on assumptions. We assume, and assumptions are really important because they fill in gaps with missing information. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example of an assumption that actually worked. I witnessed this. So I was at the grocery store. I was walking in from the parking lot, and I saw a gentleman. He was elderly. He had kind of two walking canes, and his trunk was open. And another gentleman came up and said, "Do you need some help?" So there's a lot going on there. Of course, I'm witnessing this. I was not part of this, but I watched it. And my guess is that gentleman that said, "Do you need help?" assumed that this person was having difficulty because of where the curb was and the things and the trunk open. That's an assumption we can come to. And disabled people are often often assumed to not be capable of doing things, and it can be a frustrating experience to always be assumed that they are not able. So, but in this case, the gentleman said, yes, could you please close the trunk? So sometimes we make assumptions and they are helpful, mm-hmm. and we can, you know, help others, help our community. And sometimes if it was somebody that was like, no, I'm fine, like, just let me do my thing, should we not have said, do you need help? You know, it's just to be aware of these nuance in things. The other thing that came up, I was just telling Sue yesterday or today, I went to get my blood drawn, and the lady called me in, and she just called my name, and she wasn't very friendly from my perspective. And I created a whole story in my head about her unfriendliness. And I made a lot of assumptions about, oh, she must really hate her job. Gosh, why do people do these jobs if they really hate it? Like, maybe if she's drawing blood, she'd be friendly. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we do. And then I was like, wait a second. Like, this is totally not true. Like, I'm creating this because I felt a little prickliness. She really didn't even say anything. I don't know. It was just, you know how that is sometimes. You interact with someone, they don't seem very friendly. Okay, and then you create a whole story about them. And so then I was like, said, oh, are you looking forward to the summer? No, not really. I just, there's so much traffic. And I'm like, oh, you have to come from far. Yeah, from Hyannis, but it's just so much traffic. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's too bad. And then we just started chit-chatting and we started laughing, and then she was asking me questions. Mm-hmm. And she was lovely and fine and friendly. Do you know what I mean? But I had to stop. I had to interrupt my thought pattern to get out of my own way. And what was the one you were saying? You said something like,
yeah.
when someone's driving slow or someone's driving erratically.
I might make an assumption.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I share one?
Yeah.
I taught for many years special needs students, and I had Down syndrome children that I worked with. And there was this one little girl, her name was Sarah. And when she was, I mean, I had her when she was 4 and 5, and I know that she's grown up and she's gone to college and she's gone into the food industry. I was in a restaurant the other day, and this woman, was emptying the dishwasher, and I looked and I thought, oh my gosh, that's Sarah. So she came over to my table to help clear my table. And I said, hi, Sarah. And she goes, I'm not Sarah. And I went to my friends who are teachers who knew Sarah when she was ill. And she goes, do you think that was just like a generalization? I said, it was totally Down syndrome child. She looked kind of like this little girl that I had, and I just assumed.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, how could I have handled that differently? Maybe if I'd said, my name is Poppy, what's yours? You know, it was a bit like, oh my God, I just assumed.
Yeah.
I was so sure that was her.
And
so
our brains do
yeah.
need to make assumptions
mm-hmm.
because we don't always have all the information. And so, but just to be aware.
Yeah.
I want to show a video. Now, I'm going to show a couple videos this weekend. They are humorous to me. If they are not humorous to you, I just want to throw that out there. This is kind of, and this is made to be a parody and sort of funny, but if it comes off not okay, I would love to know, because I assume that other people will think this is funny. This is an assumption I'm making. So maybe let's score it like 1 to 5 when we're done, how funny you think it is, okay?
Five
being very funny. I won't tell you what I rate it. Here we go.
Hi there.
Hi.
Nice day, huh?
Yeah, finally, right?
Where are you from? Your English is perfect.
Oh. San Diego. We speak English there.
Where are you from?
Well, I was born in Orange County, but I never actually lived there.
I mean before that.
Before I was born. Well, my great-grandma was from Seoul,
Korean. I knew it. I was like, she's either Japanese or Korean. But I was leaning more towards Korean.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Kamchasuna. There's a really good teriyaki barbecue place in my apartment. I actually really like kimchi.
Cool. What about you? Where are you from?
San Francisco.
But where are you from?
No, I'm sorry.
Really? You're Native American?
No, regular American. Oh, well, I guess my grandparents are from England.
Oh, well. I think your people's fish and chips are amazing.
You're weird.
Really? I'm weird? Must be a Korean thing.
Amazing. So, what's your rating on funniness, 1 to 5? Just show your hands. Okay.
Interesting. 5.
You don't think? What do you think, Poppy?
I think it was offensive to me somewhat. There was like, ooh, did you really see that? Ooh, but that happens, and ooh, so there. I couldn't give it 5. I couldn't give it full blown, really.
Copy. Right. So, what you felt it was offensive though to
yes.
you?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I put myself in both of their positions.
Yeah.
And thought, yeah, mm-hmm. that happens. It felt like, ooh.
But I think that's the point of it, is it supposed to feel that way? Because people do say things like that without
yes.
awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is obviously parody.
Can I share a bias?
Yes.
Well, I'm working at the Cape Playhouse, and I'm like managing a little group that works out front, and a lot of the patrons are older. And this past week, so, like, a lot of them, I feel like it's, like, an age thing, but, like, a gender thing, too. Like, they're, like, this is a big job for a pretty young girl. Like, yeah. But, like, I've gotten, like, 10, like, outlandish comments. And I think it's what everyone's thinking, or that's what it makes me, how it makes me feel, you know? Or, like, they're, like, I mean, I'm not complaining that people said I was pretty, but they're, like, you're so pretty. Do you have a boyfriend?
Oh,
like,
God.
Do you live here year round? I'm like,
what category do you fit into?
Yeah.
And how do you respond like to the one about this is a big job for?
I mean, I don't know. I just laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say really because I can't. I don't want to be rude back. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't. I mean, just like a generational thing, but.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that's happening. This feels,
yeah. Yeah.
Even to have that response, because I felt the same way. I mean, I've had similar comments made by elders when I was younger and prettier. just sort of response, like, I didn't want to really be disrespectful
right.
because they're elderly. So an elder person gets away with stuff like that, you know?
Right.
Because
their filter's gone.
Yes. But just really that Emma couldn't really show how she felt about that because that would be a sign of disrespect, you know, and that's kind of our, you know, societal law.
Yeah.
So.
But she was also an employee, so she didn't
mm-hmm.
want to.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Very layered situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's weird that like the association of like being a woman or and like having a position like that or like having other qualities that aren't necessarily associated with professionalism and then someone being like, oh, like that can't exist in this space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think for the elderly people in my life, because we have, my husband and I, between us, have 3 93-year-old parents. And it's just thought mouth.
Yeah.
And there's no stopping what cynical mouth. And that's not true for all elderly, but I do think they see a pretty girl and they say what comes to their mind, no matter how uncomfortable it is.
and cringy it is.
And sometimes, like, they're... If we go back to our agreements, which are agreements
right.
here, not in the whole world,
mm-hmm.
not going
right.
out into the world, but if we go back to presume positive intent,
right.
he wasn't intending to be insulting,
right?
Right? He was attempting to, we don't think, to make some kind of connection or something, and it just kind of doesn't fall right. And so,
yeah,
and this is what we're partly going to talk about, is what do we do when we notice bias in ourselves? What do we do when we notice bias in other people? You know, is it appropriate to, we were talking about calling in and versus calling out last time. Calling someone out is you know, pointing the finger. Look at what you did. You did that wrong. That's not appropriate. Calling in, I think of like putting your arm around somebody and being like, help me understand. Help me understand why. And in a closed group like this, we can have those conversations. If it's some random customer, like maybe not, and maybe you decide to let it go, or maybe you come up with some kind of response that kind of makes your point but is also fun. That's kind of how I think of things.
Yeah.
Like maybe your response is like, yep, just got out of diapers last week or something. You know, like just make
getting
it.
Getting plastic surgery to make myself ugly so I can do better.
Right.
Yeah, or
the founders of our country wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution probably younger than you.
Yeah.
Good point.
That's they were men, though.
Right.
But,
mm-hmm. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder why.
So, okay. So, we're going into this realm again. You don't know what you don't know. We all make assumptions. Sometimes we assume correctly, and sometimes we don't. And that's okay. And we can start to uncover and look at those things. So we're going to pass these around. There's a document, What is Cultural Competence? And we're going to read it, part of it together, and then read it alone. But I can only speak from my own perspective. I'm clearly not aware of every bias I have or every incorrect assumption I have. But when I do notice something arise, I can choose to ignore it or I can choose to do something. And like I said, I try to just get curious. And maybe I might feel some embarrassment and shame at the beginning, like, oh, why did I say that? That was so dumb. Or why did I assume that? And then I notice it. So if I'm in groups that I am maybe not accustomed to being in, I notice what kind of judgments are coming up. And just like, huh, that's interesting. That's curious. And what do I do with that? I can choose. So cultural competence. Let's read through this. Can I have somebody offer to start, read the first paragraph, and then we'll go around just for this first top section. Who'd like to start? Nancy.
At the top?
Yeah.
A culturally competent professional is one who is actively in the process of becoming aware of his or her own assumptions about human behavior, values, biases, preconceived notions, personal limitations, and so forth. Second, a culturally competent...
Oh, can we I'll go. I'm sorry, just first paragraph. Andrew, do you want to go?
Sure. Second, a culturally competent professional is one who actively attempts to understand the worldview of culturally diverse populations. In other words, what are the values, assumptions, practices, communication styles, group norms, biases, experiences, perspectives, and so on, of cultural diverse students, families, communities, and colleagues you interact with. Third, a culturally competent professional is one who is in the process of actively developing and practicing appropriate, relevant, and sensitive strategies and skills in working with culturally diverse students, families, communities, and colleagues.
Fourth, a culturally competent professional is one who advocates on behalf of the needs of their students, clients, families, colleagues they work with. They take action in their workplace, community, and society to create a culture of respect and equity.
Thus, cultural competence is an active developmental ongoing process and is aspirational rather than achieved.
Okay, we're going to stop there. So the next few pages, it's split up into four parts. There's awareness, knowledge, skills, and advocacy action. And I'm going to give you a little time to read these four sections independently and sort of do an informal self-assessment. You know, not anything too high stakes here. And mark each item with check marks. So if you leave it blank, zero check marks, that is something that you don't have any experience with or you might need to work on. If you do one check mark, that means you need to work on it a little. If two check marks, you mostly have it, but you need a bit more work. And three is like you're culturally competent. So for each bullet, so if you read like, well, you don't have to do each bullet. You can do like number one under awareness, number two. For that number one, you're gonna give it a 0 to 3 check marks next to it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
3 check marks is like, I've got this, I feel culturally competent, and going from there.
And again, just reminding ourselves that in this last sentence, cultural competence is an active, developmental, ongoing process. And
yeah.
Is aspirational rather than achieved.
That's true. So 3 doesn't necessarily mean you've achieved it,
mm-hmm.
but you feel confident.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie, did you say there was a skills one too? I only have
the top
knowledge.
It's at the very top.
Of the
third,
the back of the second page. Skills. Is yours missing something?
On the top.
I don't have 153.
Oh, here, take this one. Oh, here's. Oh, gosh, does everybody?
I'm just missing the middle page. Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, so let me give you like 10-ish minutes or so.
Okay.